Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone. Tootsie.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I want you to know there is a devil, baby. Excuse me, there's a devil loose. And yeah, I'm smiling this morning. We're having some technical issues. Don't really know what they are. Slew foot or some powers, prince of the powers of the air, something going on here with our website. Apologize to those of you who are trying to get in. Jared and Spencer are doing everything they can, so bear with us here a second. Wasn't my plan to be here this morning, but Holy Spirit woke me up and let me know that it was important that I be here at least for the opening. Gunslinger Sam's supposed to be running the show this morning. He hasn't been able to get into the queue yet, so we don't know what's going on there. But I want to take a I just want to give you a couple updates on a couple things in a real spiritual, a breakthrough. Hey, Coach, are there any issues going on? I can't get in the huddle. I'm probably going to get a million of those. Yes, Tracy, we're trying. Hang on. Let me tell her here.
Yeah, I was going to say, Coach, if you're telling her here, she ain't hearing it, right?
Yeah, she ain't hearing it. So, oh, my goodness. It's been the most amazing experience of my life. The last, it says a lot, doesn't it? The last 3 weeks of what's been swirling around me and what we have all, whether we know it or not, what we're in the midst of in a vortex that we're stuck in. And scriptures tell us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. We still don't understand it. We really, really have no concept of what that means. And I've been under a spiritual assault that you don't always recognize as spiritual assaults. You recognize them as, oh, you're fatigued. You recognize them as an illness, an ache, whatever, distractions, mess ups, things break, things. I've been under one of those for almost 3 weeks. And, this hack and cough hanging on around me. And at the same time, coming in here every morning, we're realizing what a wonderful, wonderful group of people is inside this. It's not just blows me away. And know what's going on. I was thinking about Dale Soshi yesterday. I listened mostly yesterday. See, my plan is just to rest, folks, be honest with you, just to rest. I listened yesterday. My plan today was just to rest again today and then try to come in tomorrow. But the Lord brought me in here today. And I want to paint some pictures for you. I think it's critical, some things we need to understand. Number one, our little wonderful Declan, our grandson, is wonderfully and perfectly made. I'm going to cry.
Glory, brother. Come on, man. Let the Lord polish that arrow.
Yep. And I never wavered. I knew. Now, he has to have some type of surgery today. They really don't know what. There's something still blocking his digestive system. Not sure what it is. And they'll do some surgery on him, and he's going to has to stay in the hospital till he has a bowel movement. And they don't know how long that'll be. So there's a lot of stress in our family on that aspect of it. Maggie had a C-section. She's doing great, except she's alone. Nobody can get in and see her. Her kids are here. But it's a miracle, miracles been done there. Fearfully, Sam's there. Hey, Sam, I'm going to do an opening, brother. I'm going to turn it over to you. A lot of people having trouble getting in this morning. So I just thank we. Michelle and I are overwhelmed by the support. And I know, as Holly said, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. But your guys' support has been more than you'll ever know. And I couldn't make it to Oklahoma, but Chad made it. I think Randy made it. I think Paul made it. And they had a wonderful event last night. We're pressing on. There's one tonight. Dr. Sherry was there. Brett was there. Juan Osegman was there. And the meeting broke up about 11 o'clock their time, which would be midnight our time. And we're on the verge of something big. Dale needs your support. Dale, I got a couple contacts and people who want to help. And I'm just giving them your number, Dale, because folks, we're organizing and moving. We're multitasking here at Coach Dave Live. Dale will need some help. We will get him financial help. If you can get the money to Dale directly, if you get it to me, whatever, we'll get the money to Dale. Craig Mickle's already spoke to Craig yesterday. We've already sent $5,000 to Craig that he's going to get a my brain's still a little fogged. Craig's loading up a bunch of supplies and is driving it down there. And we're financing that. I heard from Jeff Dyson in Fort Wayne, Indiana, who's buying a brand new solar panel freezer, filling it with meat. And he needs somebody only to come by and pick it up and drag it to New Orleans. Fort Wayne, Indiana to New Orleans. A freezer full, a solar freezer full of fresh ground beef. So that's someone can step forward and do that. And those of you who want to help, I'm not of much help right now from a coordination standpoint. Connect with Dale. We are supporting Dale. We're supporting Dale financially. We're supporting Dale with labor. But know this, it's going to be grunt work. It's grunt work. Now, Dale shared last night that he has lights at his church. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I jacked my generator in there so we can do service on Sunday. This will be our first time in 3 weeks. So there's, you know, I did talk with Jeff yesterday. The guys that are coming in, it's rough, guys. This is one step up from a cowboy. You bring your air mattress, that's your step up. It is rough. There's no food on the shelves in the stores down here. I'm telling you, there's gas stores that are open now. We have not been able to find bread in 4 days. I'm talking hamburger buns. So anyway, I've talked with a few people about what teams are coming. I got a guy from Washington who's just driving down. He said yesterday, I said, listen, I'm just telling you, my church is not going to have electricity, so there'll be no AC. I have no showers. I bought a portable shower yesterday so we can give a little bit of reprieve for the men who will come down here. I don't want any women coming down here at that time, but we are spending money. You know, but coach, I'm debt free. And you know me, you know, I got this down here. We Larry's bringing his trailer today. We are going to be set up. We're going to be feeding as, you know, as the Lord wills.
Amen. Amen. So folks, Dale, maybe you can put your number in the chat or whatever. Folks, if you would, if you communicate directly with Dale, it would help me. I'm still dragging my butt a little bit, and that would help. And I'll stay in communication with him and help him there as much as I can. So there's a devil loose, friends. There's a devil loose. Betty Perkins, I want you to hear this. You guys all know Betty. God bless Betty Perkins. Betty Perkins her brother died. She drove all the way to South Carolina. I'm sorry, South Dakota. And only to find out that her brother had basically been abandoned by his family. They'd taken his car and his truck and stuff that he had, but they'd left him laying somewhere in a morgue. You believe that? This is the first thing that happened. When she got there, she had to somehow secure her brother's body. She's able to secure her brother's body and purchase him a casket. I don't know what if she said. I don't know what kind of funeral. She's carried that burden all by herself. And just be in prayer for Betty, because she's a warrior and she's one of us. And she would give, literally has given me the last dollar in her pocket. She says, Coach, I don't want any of this money left when I die. And she stands in need of prayer. Just know that, folks, there's a devil loose. I'm telling you, there's a devil loose. Heard from Claudine, our girls in New Hampshire, and they raised hell in New Hampshire last night. They're trying to force the CDC or whoever, I don't know, I'm not up on all my information. They had a public meeting last night. They were going to hand out, are you kidding? You ready for this? Vaccine cards, vaccinated and unvaccinated. They had a public meeting last night, and they had people about burning the freaking place down. They put a stop to it. It's time for the church people to arise and not take this. Can I say bullshit? Joseph, is that a fit? Are you allowed to say that, Joe? Not enough. Okay, I just did. Enough of this bullshit. Enough of it. And so there's victories out there. And they had that great meeting last night. I don't know. Randy, were you in the meeting at all last night? I don't know if you were there. Don't apologize. Say that you weren't. It doesn't matter. I just wanted.
Chad was there.
Okay.
Hey, Coach, I'm here.
Okay.
I have my hand up.
Okay, Brett, fill us in there real briefly.
Hey, just real quickly, God bless you, Declan. You are wonderfully made, and there's going to be an amazing story. I can't wait to watch him sacked. He's going to be a stud strong safety someday and sack that quarterback.
By the way, Declan means full of great goodness, full of goodness. That's why they named him Declan.
Awesome. Gene Schroeder was there with his Pass Assault t-shirt on. It was awesome. And Chad Estes did a great job last night, Coach. And we played your video. It was a wonderful event. And to God be the glory.
Amen, Brett. And we'll move on to another venue tonight and another venue on Friday.
Yep. And tonight we'll be at the fairgrounds. The county commissioner's daughter is Danielle, who's been helping us. So it's going to be amazing. But God bless this team. God bless you, Betty Perkins. It's an honor for me to be a very small part of this team.
Randy, did you want to say something? Okay. Amen. Folks, it's something really, really. I want to get out and let Sam get in here because I know he'll have a good word for us. I want you to – this, my friends, is – this is a direct download I got. Now, I don't – is it the Holy Spirit? I don't know. But I know this. What I had for the last 3 weeks, are you guys looking at me? It's not a virus. I want you to listen to me again. Because we've all been programmed to say COVID virus. What I had was not a virus. I got that from the Holy Spirit. What I have been dealing with is some type of electric transmission. Are you listening to me? From the vaccinated. I have been dealing with something from the vaccinated. And I don't know how it is. I have to share this with you. The other night in bed, before this thing began to break on me, I had about 6 hours of, I don't know how to explain it, of a suspended animation in my mind. I was asleep and awake at the same time. Randy's nodding. He knows what I mean. Folks, listen to me. There is something that takes over your body electrically. And I laid there for 6 hours in my bed, totally awake and totally asleep. And I was aware I was awake, and I was aware that I was asleep, but I wasn't either one. I was in some type of suspended animation. And I was laying there at about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't know, didn't know if I was ever going to come out of that state. I didn't know. I couldn't make myself roll over. I couldn't move, laying there. And I thought, Lord, how am I going to get out of this? I'm trapped. How am I going to get out of this? And then about 6 o'clock in the morning, folks, listen to me. Sid wasn't a virus. It was as somebody had turned a switch on. And I was frozen in my mind, awake and asleep, incapable of doing anything. And then about 6 o'clock in the morning, I said, I got to get up and pee. I got to get up and pee. And I got up. And all of a sudden I was sort of conscious again. But I want you guys to know this. There's two components that are going on with this thing. Number one, there is a physical viral component of it. But here's what I know. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, vitamin C, the cocktail of vitamins that I've been taking blocked the physical aspect of that from getting deeply into my body. But it did not prevent the electrical part of it. Folks, please don't miss this. My vitamins, my ivermectin, all of that stuff, zinc, all of it protected me physically from allowing this thing to do what it wanted to do to me. But the electrical component dug in longer than I could do anything about it. I felt it break a little bit last night. In fact, I woke up this morning, I said to Michelle, I actually slept. I didn't fall into death. I fell into sleep for the first time in I don't know how long. I say this to you, listen. It's the people who have been vaccinated that are spreading this. They're not going to tell you that. Folks, COVID-19 is dead and gone. Now, they're going to take you into the hospital, and they're going to give you a test, and they're going to tell you you have COVID. COVID is gone. It ain't COVID. It's morphed into something else. You better go check and see if you have COVID. Don't even waste your time. It isn't. And it's coming from vaccinated people. Now, here's what I think. Mark Trump would know this better than me. Others out there would know this better than me. Whatever that thing is that gets electronically transmitted into me is impacted by the electronical world around us. Whether it be 5G, whether it be just energy off your cell phone, whether it be whatever, this electronic component is being fueled by the electronics around us. That's as clear as I can make it. And here's all you can do, because some of you maybe are going to fall in the same trap. All you can do is get on your vitamins and your minerals and protect the physical part of your body. Protect the physical part of it. Load up so that if the viral component of this stuff, the one that wants to impact the lungs and the heart and the fever, load up on that so that it cannot progress into your system. I am physically, from a viral standpoint, I'm good. I'm just now fighting through the electrical component of this mess. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to hit more of us. It's going to hit more of us, and they're going to try to get you to take a jab, and they're going to try to take you to get a booster, and they're going to brain fog, right, Polly? The brain fog, I'm telling you. God help us. Brain fog. So I want you to hear that from me, because most people that you're going to come in contact with don't have any idea what I'm talking about right now. They're not even taking ivermectin. They still think it's horse paste. It's baffling to me. People listening to the show still aren't taking it. What's going on? All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to step out because I'm still not full speed. And love all of them. We'll turn over to Sam because I know Sam. Sam, I didn't know your mommy's in here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, she's in here. Folks, this is an electronic disease. It's an electronic transmitted whatever it is. It has a viral component to it, but it is not a virus. Please hear me. Get to the protocol. Get your vitamins and minerals inside of you so you can protect yourself physically. But this mental thing, this electrical thing, I don't know. Now, here's something like that. One more thing, and then I'll get out of the way, Sam. I don't think I transmit it. It's been transmitted to me. It's transmitted to me, but I don't think I transmit it to others. Understand what I'm saying? I think you only transmit it through the vaccination. If you've had the vaccination, then you transmit it. But it's transmitted to me, but I don't spread it. My wife doesn't have it. So keep that in mind.
Coach, can I say something for us? I just saw Larry and gave him goods for Dale. Please pray for Larry and his travels there. He's got another 12 hours.
All right. And by the way, tomorrow is 26-26. We'll do communion tomorrow. I'll be in here hopefully 75% speed. And I'm going to try to switch over here. I'm going to mute myself here, hand it off to Sam, and let him take it from there. Bless you guys. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, I just emailed you a visual aid. If you could get that dispenser, it says calendar in the subject line. Good morning, everybody. I didn't intend to make it into Flea Flicker Friday, but it looks like we're a day ahead of schedule on getting our Flea Flicker in. Appreciate everybody coming in and being ready, because I certainly wasn't. I have something pretty wild to share with everyone today, and I just want to explain what time it is and tell a little bit. I have to kind of get a focus on reality sometimes. And can you handle that, Coach? Can you send that on to him so I don't have to type something into my other phone? Okay, good deal. Fantastic. So we were talking yesterday that we're in a season of feasts that could be so confusing. And I'll tell you what, the most confusing thing you can do if you're not confused enough is ask a Jewish person or even a Messianic believer. And I'm not being critical, but it's just been my experience. The first thing that they want to do is not speak English. They want to speak another language. And then there's a whole other calendar. And so hopefully I can, there we go. All right, there's my visual aid. Man, I had this all done for you. So I just want to explain what time it is that I kept the festival to the Lord last year. And on the final day, the angel of the Lord came and appeared to me. And I really should not have survived this year, guys. I really should not have. I have had to tap into higher places in the spirit realm. And I hope we all see we're at that point, what the coach was saying, that this is an extermination weapon that he's dealing with. Yeah, that's where we're all at. We have to have the help of God. So I want to break this down, why it's important, what time of year it is. And what we've kind of done as a society to depart from the Bible. So let me just start. I'm going to shout out a couple of things here from the Law of Moses. This is Exodus 23:17. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Three times in the year. And then I'm going to skip over to Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. And then it names what they are: in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Okay, now let's go to Leviticus 23. If a person reads this chapter, just take it in the King James and start from the beginning, it will surely cross your eyes and just leave the person very, very confused. It's so simple, though. The Lord appointed certain times that he was to be worshipped. First of all, he tells about the weekly Sabbath. And then beyond that, it says, these are the feasts of the Lord in verse 4. And right then, it turns into Chinese, or it turns into a mathematical equation. Someone may say that it's all Greek to them. I just want to make it super simple. There's three times in the year that people were supposed to present themselves before the Lord in Jerusalem. So let me just throw a couple questions out there. I think we all know, and don't go to this. Let's just keep Leviticus 23 up there, Spencer. I think we all know in this room that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians 5. I think we all understand that as Christians, that the work that was done by putting the blood on the doorposts in Egypt to get Israel out of Egypt, I think we all understand that Jesus fulfilled that. But here's the thing. If you get on into the book of Hebrews, there's all kinds of things that pertain to a different time of the year that pertain to the atonement. And the apostle starts talking about the atonement. He starts talking about the sanctification of a tabernacle. Here's why it's important. We've got three feasts in the year that are celebrated in these United States. None of them have anything to do with God's calendar. None of them have really anything but the shallowest veneer of Christianity. And these three feasts have stolen hearts of the children of our nation. And what are they? What's the time that every kid knows that they can eat all the candy that they want? Well, there's three of them. All right. The Christ Mass. All right. There you go. Bam, bam. Easter, Halloween, and Christmas. And every kid knows that they're gonna get to pig out three times in the year on those days. And you look at them, they have nothing. The one that's the most plausible and the one that's the most ingrained in our society is the Christ Mass. And it really has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the Hebrew culture has taken things and just gone in a haywire direction. I just want to tell you that the Lord laid out very clearly what we're supposed to do. You know, after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. He's our Passover lamb. He was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. When he demonstrated himself alive for 40 days, then Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So the disciples followed the word of the Lord. They had the upper room. This is the dawning of the book of Acts. They were all together in one place. And then Acts says something interesting. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, because this was a feast that had been celebrated for over 1,000 years in Israel, and it was 50 days. That's why it's called the Feast of Weeks, because there's 7 weeks. 7 and 7 is 49, and then the next day is the 50th day, which is Pentecost. So when that happened, that's when a mighty rushing wind came in. The mighty rushing wind came in, and tongues of fire dwelt lighted on every person that was in that room. And they began to speak with other tongues, and they began to go out into their community and heal the sick, do the things that Jesus had done himself, and then he had empowered his disciples. You know, he gave them a special, this was a dispensation. He gave them power over demons and to heal all sicknesses when he sent out the 12 and later when he sent out the 70. Isn't it interesting that Jesus died on a feast day, on the Passover? He ate the Passover like it had been done where they ate the lamb with his disciples. The Last Supper was a celebration of the Passover. And then on that very day, Jesus went on to be our Passover lamb and to die on the cross. And then 50 days into the future, on the very day of Pentecost, the disciples were waiting in the upper room to be endued with power from on high. And lo and behold, it happened. So after maybe 1,000 years or maybe more of celebrating this feast as a nation, finally it becomes clear what it's about. It's about, it has a fulfillment. There's a third feast. 3 times in the year shall all males present themselves before me. And so this is the time that it is right now. Can we go to this calendar, Spencer? Okay, so there are really 7 feasts, but they come in 3 clusters. I hope everybody's with me. This is a little bit technical today, but I'm going to make it so simple. All right, so this is the calendar of this month in 2021. And I'm going to go to my book here, too. This is a book by Clay Sonmore. It's called Beyond Pentecost. And it tells about looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles. Right here he tells that there's such a thing as the outer court. There's the holy place, and there's the most holy place. This book is one of many thick books and that Brother Clay wrote, and it's all on the time of year that it is right now. A few pages later, Clay says, "Dare we believe God for the impossible? Dare we be like those believers that went into the upper room and that waited on God, expecting for a transformation to happen?" And I want you to know that I'm just crazy enough to believe. So last year I did something that I've never done. I went out and set up my tent. And for this long bar, the Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days, and then the 8th day is also a special Sabbath, I just hung out with the Lord. I didn't fast. I just spent time with the Father and kind of got quiet, got to hang out a little bit with him. And on the final day, the angel of the Lord did appear to me and came out of the woods. A light came right through the woods and right to my campsite on the evening on the final day. We're in a place where we have got to have the power of God. We're in a place where God has to visit us in a new way. And if it doesn't happen, we're going to be crushed by everything that's on the outside. We've got extermination weapons happening them. We have happening to us. We have got wars and rumors of wars. We have got a political situation that I can't believe continues to heat up and hasn't just exploded all over the whole earth. Let's believe God to walk with him. He said he would make his tabernacle with men. And there's a third feast that's unfulfilled, guys. What about the feast of the 7th month? It is unfulfilled. So Daniel was in Babylon, and he decided that he was really vexed in his spirit. he went into fasting and prayer. And at that point, he didn't know what future there was for his nation. They'd been in captivity for 70 years. And then here's what the book of Daniel says, that he found out by letters that the time of the captivity was to be 70 years. So Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah and how Jeremiah told that there would be an exile. Jeremiah told that they would be taken captive, that they would be in Babylon, carried away. And Jeremiah wrote that the time of their captivity would be 70 years. So it's easy to see this as a supernatural experience when we look at Daniel praying. But what God did was showed Daniel that the time of their captivity would be 70 years, and the 70 years was up. Daniel learned by letters that the 70 years was up. And then God did deliver him. You know, the writing on the wall happened. The temple was rebuilt, skipping forward. The same thing that happened in Egypt. The Israelites were captive, and on the very day, 400 years later, they went up harnessed. One of my favorite verses as a gospel gunslinger. They went up harnessed out of Egypt. To the very day, on the very day. So God has done this before. In Egypt, their captivity was fulfilled on the very day, 400 years later. In Babylon, their captivity was fulfilled on the very day, 70 years into their captivity. When Jesus died on the cross, now here we are into the feasts, he died on the very day of Passover. The Passover lamb had been sacrificed for thousands of years. And then on the day of Pentecost, on that point of the calendar, this is what a person would say, Sam, why is this calendar important? Isn't this archaic? There was the quantum increase on the very day when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So what can we look forward to? What can we expect in the fullness of time? Well, I expect God to visit the whole earth and to take those wise virgins to a new place. When they tabernacled in the wilderness with God, it was 50 degrees Celsius. We're on Celsius where I'm at. What is that, 122 degrees? It was a waste howling wilderness where the people of Israel were for 40 years. It was full of snakes. It was full of scorpions. And they didn't have any shelter at all. If you look around, everybody's prepping, prepping, prepping. And I'm a gospel gunslinger. I think you ought to have some boxes of shells. I think you ought to have some grub. I think you ought to be prepared for some calamity and to hold out and wait for a long, long time. But the children of Israel, they did not have what they needed. They needed a miracle, whether their shoes did not wear out, where their garments did not wax old. They needed God to take care of them every day and every hour. They need to go into a place where their labors had ceased. And then the Lord dwelt among them tangibly. I've seen God do so many things, and I've had so many wild supernatural experiences. I really try to only just tell one or two at a time because it's mind-blowing, and it doesn't even make sense to me. I blow my own mind when I just think back on what God did this one place. But then you know what happens? I get hungry after that. I got to go pick up my hammer to make it to the next station, build something. My labor hasn't ceased. The presence of the pillar of fire is not 24 hours a day, cloud by day and fire by night. But in the wilderness, in the time of tabernacles, in the time when all of the people of Israel dwelt in tabernacles, that's the way that it was. The presence of God was tangible. The pillar of fire was tangible. The cloud over them was tangible. Their daily bread that they picked up 6 days in the week was tangible. And God wants to take us to that place. Even those of us that believe in the miraculous and push for the miraculous, we wind up back waking up in our own broken body so often. Wouldn't it be nice if God took us beyond that? Really, the title of this message is God's Super Soldier Plan. We know the Chinese have got super soldiers. We know that there's experimentation, and I've fought these people for years, so I know that there's super soldiers out there that come and get us. I had a report of evil ninja that had his sword hidden in an umbrella on the metro just the other day. And until I found a police officer, I thought, I'm going to have to fight this guy at an extreme disadvantage. And I had to pinch myself and say, am I in a movie? Why does nobody else see this? And the guy was American. It was an American guy. Anyhow, we got that guy taken care of, but God has a super soldier plan. And God's super soldier plan has to do with the time of year that it is right here, right now. Thank you, Spencer, for putting that up. So I would just challenge everyone, and I'm going to email this out so that everyone knows where these feasts lie. I would challenge everyone to honor God on these days and see what happens. And I'm going to tell you, there is a point where God is going to visit his church. There is a point where there will be a fulfillment of this third feast. It's going to happen. And those who are found waiting, who are found watching when the Lord arrives, are going to be closed in with the Father like the wise virgins. And the ones who are not are going to not. So our kings are nursing fathers. Our queens are nursing mothers. Do the kings of the earth bow down and lick the dust of our feet? That's what's promised to us as believers. It either happens way off in the by and by, either all the promises of God are on the other side of the divide after we die, after the wicked hunt us down and kill us, or there's a point where God fulfills it. And I just want to challenge you with the fact that we've been very naughty by not celebrating, by not having the Lord's feasts as the center of our calendar. It's a great sin that's on our nation, and there are others that we talk about all the time. The book of Daniel says that the Antichrist will seek to change times and laws. And so this is what we have. We have a calendar that's named for a pope. All of our months are named after emperors in the Roman fourth and terrible beasts. And then the days of the week are named for heathen gods. And a lot of people just don't even ever try to see it another way. But there's another way to see it. And the way to see it is that God has a plan. He has times and seasons that he has set out and that he is destined for our glory. So please just look at that. Think about whether you have faith to believe God for the impossible, and consider that there is to be an evolution in the body, that the early and the latter rain will be poured out together. And I'll just tell you, it is going to happen on the actual days of the Feast of Tabernacles. This year or some year, the Bible typology is the outpouring will come to those who are waiting and who are ready. Dave, please jump in. Are you there? Dave's got his hand up. Ah, he jumped out. We might have lost him again. There is going to be an evolution in the body of Christ. there are forerunnings. There are pitter-pats of the raindrops of the early and latter days. Spencer, go ahead and call on somebody. You can see who's got their hand up.
Let me jump in here real quick, Sam.
Please do.
Folks, that's wonderful. Sam, that's I'm just sitting here pondering as I'm listening to what you're saying. But I want to also throw something else that the Lord showed me. You know, I pray often, Lord's hedge protection to be around us. The Bible says that there would be no evil befall us, no plague come nor our dwelling. It says that there's no weapon that's formed against us that will prosper. The Holy Spirit showed me last night that in this time in which we live, we do have a hedge around us, folks. We do. But you have to understand that on the outside of that hedge, they're spitting at you. They're peeing on you. They're puking on you. They're flying over and crapping on top of us. And the promise of the Lord is that those weapons aren't going to prosper. Doesn't mean they're not going to hit you. Doesn't mean it's not going to cause some discomfort. But the end result of what that weaponry is not going to have the impact that the enemy wants it to have on you. So get yourself discouraged and you say, Lord, why is this happening to me? Because they're piercing over the top of the hedge. They're puking down. They're spitting on you. They're taking a crap. It hits us. But God's promise is that weapon is not going to prosper. It's not going to be able to do what it was sent to do. Blessing, Sam. Good teaching.
Amen. Who else is out there? Rochelle?
One of my very favorite scriptures is Isaiah 43. When you walk through the waters, he will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. And I always point out to people, it says when, not if. You're going to walk through the waters, you're going to get wet. You're going to walk through the fire, and it's going to get hot. But you're not going to smell like smoke. But we have to expect that when you experience these things, God is with you and always will be.
Amen, Susan. Thank you.
Wouldn't it be great? Jump in, Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. All of these feasts, this is great. I'm so glad you're doing this, Sam. All of these feasts were so representative of something. It was made to set up this pattern. It's prophetic. One of the cool things coming to mind about the Feast of Tabernacles, the final day was, that was when Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And another thing they did is there were people who had to keep the torches burning. They had to walk the grounds of, you know, everybody's camping in tents. People had to keep the torches burning. All of these elements of these feast days represent something. And it is meant for us to seek what these things are. We're meant to be and get closer to him.
That's a fact. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, and I think I'm in the ninth chapter, there's all these references to the lamb and the blood and the purifying of the tabernacle. That's not Passover. I'll give you the chapter here. I think we're in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 11 in the book of Hebrews. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So tabernacle is a tent. And then the people of God worship the Lord in a tabernacle for 40 years in the wilderness, and then for some centuries in the promised land, they still were worshiping in tabernacles before Solomon built the temple. But this says there's a greater and more perfect tabernacle. And then 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. You know, the wicked actually use that verse and think that they should murder us. Just so you know, that's got a Jesuit interpretation. Let's go to verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. So that's not talking about the Passover. That's talking about the Day of Atonement, this day on your calendar, which is on the 15th and 16th of September here in 2021. So yes, the Lord Jesus is our Passover lamb, but he's also the atoning sacrifice. And John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. Revelation says the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Isn't that interesting?
So when you're talking about the Day of Atonement, I just wanted to bring out, because you made a great point, but that's the Day of Atonement, and that's where it's not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own perfect blood, having obtained eternal redemption. So believers in Jesus accept the sacrifice on the cross as the final atonement for sin. That's where it was.
We're not going to go kill any goats, because Jesus is a sacrifice once and for all. So believers, a lot of times, go through their whole Christian life and never realize that Jesus is the lamb slain for Passover. As the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, he is also the atoning sacrifice for this day and this year in September. This is the seventh month feast. Just consider, there will be an evolution. There will be a change. And if you've hung out with me for any amount of time, you know that the Larkin chart really is my enemy, because that causes people to believe that God is never going to strengthen them, that they, as the bride of Christ, as a living stone, that they are never going to go through a purification process, and that they will never go through an evolution process. Tiny Hearts, I'm not calling on you. I've been very obnoxious through this entire message and type and stuff, and there's a time for that, but it's not here and now.
I thought we're supposed to speak truth.
There is an evolution coming. There's an evolution coming. And it was this doctrine that caused me to begin to believe and to lay the foundations of the gospel gunslingers. It's this doctrine that God does a work here in the earth. You know, the coach was on and he was really scolding the whole wide world on this program just a few days ago, saying, why do people think that Christians should not be involved in politics? Why do people think that we should not rule and reign, that we don't have a right to make our own laws, to be involved, to stand up, to have a voice, to be a citizen, to have rights? Why is it so prevalent? Well, those are false doctrines. But it's this doctrine of the evolution, that the Lord will come down and that he'll set up his tent with us. To me, that's the shocking part, that he's going to do that. I think that that's amazing. Who's got their hand up?
It's me, Bernie.
Jump in.
Okay. I think it's what you're saying is all really interesting. What's interesting to me is to think that Calvin, Luther, Abraham Kuyper, they all had these ideas of a public theology, that the theology wasn't just for the church, but the church impacted the whole society through their living and the proclamation of what was right. Even Paul appealed to Caesar to take the truth of the gospel about who really is Lord to him. And you know, the church has been is AWOL, and some people rose up, but the church shamed them and put them down. It's really been a this is you know I saw this thing. Abraham Kuyper wrote a thing against vaccine passports, what they call vaccine certificates, back during like the cowpox or smallpox vaccine, because he saw the tool of the tyrant. You know, the other thing is, I know you keep saying evolution. I just kind of think the term rejuvenation or regeneration is more more appropriate. But I'm just going to throw that out, Sam. I appreciate what you're teaching, and it gives me a lot to consider.
Thank you. It is going to happen again. It's going to happen again. God, the kingdoms of this earth are becoming the king, have become, Revelation says, the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever and ever. Spencer, would you put that other visual up just so that we have a good record of that? This one here. Now, these are only the feasts of the seventh month, but I've just written this out so that it's easy to find, so that everybody knows what day it is. According to, you know, years ago when I was a young missionary, I found a Bible in Mexico. I was actually hanging out with Bible translators, and they had a Bible that had the Aztec calendar, the wheel that you see on the old pesos or on Mexican art, and then they had the Gregorian calendar that we use, named for Pope Gregory, and then they had the Hebrew calendar, and it was a wheel within a wheel within a wheel. So that people that were still using the Aztec calendar deep in the jungles of Mexico, that they could understand the Hebrew calendar. And it's not that hard. Guys, let's believe God for the power to move on. Let's believe God to turn the battle in the gates. Let's believe God to strengthen us when we're faint, when we're like Samson, when we're at the end. Let's believe God to take us up to a new place in the name of Jesus. Maybe we're just crazy enough to believe that. Us taking up our responsibility as citizens is one thing. Us fighting for our lives is quite another thing. But there is a third place. Let's be the third day church. Let's be the Lord's people that are found waiting on him and ready to receive power from on high. Rochelle, I can't see the clock. Would you just lead us in prayer and take us on out for the last minute? Go ahead and turn your mic on.
Sure. Thanks, Sam. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. We lift up everyone in this queue and their families. Keep us strong and healthy. Allow us to discover what you're doing in our lives and bring us extraordinary outcomes. And through your strength and wisdom, please guide us in these troubling times. Please strengthen our leaders, because they have to have some type of hedge of protection around us. We need them to make good decisions and to keep fighting for us. We love you. We praise you. We are in the battle with you. You have showed us the way. And we only hope that we...
Yes, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the message of hope that you've given to us, Father. We thank you that you are pouring out your spirit. We thank you for your two witness company. Lord, we thank you that in these last days, you have a plan to raise up a Gideon's 300 for those who want you, Lord, for those who want to wait on you, for those who say, come away, for those who are ready to respond to your call, Lord God Almighty. We're ready, Father, for you to take us up to a higher place, to give us the weapons that we need to move on, to be victorious, to establish your kingdom here on the earth. It's what our forefathers believed, Father. And I think that we have a mustard seed of faith where we can stand and believe that you're going to do a greater thing in our generation. Lord, the enemies have never been this numerous. There's never been an army of 200 million men, and now it's ready. And Father, these things are on the earth, and what will you do? We just believe that you're going to empower your servants to strike the earth with all plagues. We believe that you're going to empower your servants, Lord, to put down everything and to put every enemy under the Lord's feet. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We believe you, God. Amen.
Amen.